Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott, and today we're going to keep talking about government. Good morning, good morning. It is August 20th, Thursday morning, and like I said in the intro, we're going to keep talking about government today. It's kind of just what the Lord has on my heart. And, you know, as I said, you know, he's been kind of really pushing some things on me as far as what that looks like. And, you know, last podcast we talked about Isaiah chapter 9, where it talks about the government of God being upheld by justice and righteousness. And, you know, just to give you some little background kind of context for this, you know, a lot of times when the Lord speaks to me about things, And he speaks to me over the course of weeks and months. And, you know, a few weeks ago, and probably actually a couple months ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and, you know, I was just asking, you know, why do you think that here in America, and other parts of the world as well, we don't see the full power of the gospel manifest like we do in other parts of the world, right? And, you know, I was a sincere question. I said, I want to know, why don't we see it? And he told me, and I thought, I mean, it was dead on. He said, I just don't think that we're willing to sacrifice at the level that other people have to see it. And, it kind of was one of the things where I kind of molded over in my head a little while, but it's one of those things that the Lord has kept bringing back to me and back to me and back to me about what that means and what that looks like. And I know in other countries they do. Some people, for them to be a Christian, it's a really dangerous thing. I mean, it's a life-threatening, or it can affect their business. China, Pakistan, some other places, Iran, I mean, it could threaten your life. And so, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, that, you know, are we willing to give up our comfort and our comfort gospel that we have here in America and really push in to see the fullness of the gospel, you know. And, you know, you might be listening right now and be like, well, I don't know about that. I think we see stuff here in America. And there are pockets of places who see it, but we're not seeing the full manifestation of the gospel and the power of the gospel and the authority of the gospel. And I think what my friend said was right. You know, the more you lay down your life, the more that you will see. In terms of the more that the Lord releases into you. You know, I love, I think it was Heidi Baker, says, the more I empty myself, the more he fills me. And I think that's so true. Honestly, I really do believe that's so true. And so you're like, okay, what does this have anything to do with government? And honestly, until recently, I didn't think it had anything to do with government either. Honestly, I had no idea. And then the Lord started speaking to me about this. And, you know, I believe there are two aspects to God's government, justice and righteousness. And we talked about that. Justice is, it's not what we think of justice as, you know, we want balanced scales, but the word is actually a decree. It is a decision of verdict. So the justice of God, the decree that comes from God, right? And so it should bring peace to you, because I was thinking about this the other day. I don't want to be the one who has to decide where justice needs to happen, right? Because even in my own life, I had mercy happen. I had grace happen in my life instead of justice. The Lord held off on justice until I was able to receive his grace and, you know, by the blood of Jesus, be saved. So for me, when I think about praying justice on people for their actions and what they do, it's not a thing that I'm like, yeah, come on, God. It's a thing that, I mean, the fear of the Lord comes on me, and I'm really hesitant to do that. But it should really ease your mind to know that the justice doesn't come from you. It comes from a verdict from God. And that's why it's so important to hear what the Lord is saying about a matter. And I just telling the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I have a hard time, you know, praying justice in situations where I know people you know, aren't saved and they need grace and they need to know you. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, because I was that guy and you kept giving me grace and grace and grace. And he brought to my mind, actually, the night I got saved, I remember, I didn't know there was a voice of the Lord, but I knew I knew it was God, even though I hadn't at that time discovered that was God. This voice in my heart, and this really strong impression, came and told me, like, Scott, this is your last chance. Like, I'm not gonna come again and ask you to follow me. It's like, this is, it was the heading. It was bringing to a head everything that had been happening in my life, and the Lord was like, this is your day of salvation. And I just knew if I didn't choose that day, then I wasn't going to have another opportunity. And so that was a really scary thing for me, because it messed with my Baptist theology, and it really messed with my Baptist theology of, you know, God's gracious to everyone. Everyone has a chance. And I realized, because the Lord was speaking to me and saying, this is the last chance you get. So, you know, so when I was asking the Lord yesterday about justice, he told me, he said, you know, well, Scott, you got grace because you listened to my voice. He says, these people who don't listen to my voice, just like had I not listened to his voice the day I got saved, I would have reaped the justice of God, right? The verdict, the decree, he would have started to judge my actions. And that's a scary thing. But, I don't want to focus on that today. I want to go into the righteous aspect of it. So what is righteousness, right? Righteousness, we talked about this on Tuesday. It's actually standing in agreement, in alignment with what the Lord decreed. So the Lord makes a just decree. That's justice. He decrees it. He says, this is it. And then righteousness is when you stand in line with that, right? It's actually you standing in alignment with what God has said, and it is you acting on it. And so it's not just enough for us to get up there sometimes and decree things and let it go, but we have to really stand in alignment and believe with faith and stand in agreement and walk it out in our actions and obedience. We have to walk out what the Lord has decreed. And that's the fullness of government. You have the two aspects. God decrees something, and we declare it and we walk it out. Okay. So, you know, we have a word that came on Sunday. John's like, there's going to be a healing thing released in the church this week. So we can decree it, but if we're not standing on that and walking it out, it's not the full government of God. And because it, you know, because the God's government is established and upheld by justice and righteousness, if you're missing one component, you're missing half of the governmental aspect of God, right? And you say, well, I don't know. I just want to, you know, why can't we just claim things? Some things you can't really partner with, right? Some things, you know, it's like, you know, we feel that the Lord's about to, whatever, you know, and there's about to be a movement from Florida. I think that was a word released recently. There's about to be a movement from Florida all the way to California. You know, action-wise, what we can do is we can pray for that, right? You say, well, what can I do? You can fast and pray for these things. And for me, that's a sacrifice. You know, so John releases this word about healing. My question is, how many people are really fasting and praying to see that happen? How many people are actually going out and praying for people to be healed? Are we pushing into the reality of this decree that came from heaven? Or are we just being nonchalant and casual with it? Because I think we are way too casual with words of the Lord. And we're like, well, it'll happen. In reality, you need to fight these things. You know, God gave Abraham and Isaac the Abrahamic covenant, the promise, right, that I'll bless the nations through you, and you know, pretty much the whole promise he gave to Abraham, right? And that meant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his whole line. But when Jacob, you see Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, when he's coming back to the promised land, obviously he's afraid of his brother Esau, but he comes to this encounter where he wrestles a man in Genesis 32, and later we find out that that man was God. So Jacob wrestles God, and what is he wrestling for? It's like, what the? It's the weirdest story, right? Because it's like, Jesus, like, it's like, and Jacob crossed the river, and he started wrestling a man. It's like, what? What in the world? But in reality, he was wrestling with God, and he was really wrestling for the promises of God over his life. And you might say, well, Scott, how do you know that? Because it's in the context. If you see it, he tells it says that the man could not prevail over Jacob, and he was like, "Release me, the sun's coming up." And Jacob said, "I'm not going to release you until you bless me." Right? And so he wrestled. He wrestled with this promise of God. He wrestled with God himself, right? And it's not that God's his enemy. It's that, for me, God had already spoken and released this promise over Abraham and his lineage. And here Jacob is wrestling for it to take ownership and possession of it. And so that's what the government of God is. If you don't have that other wrestling aspect where we wrestle with what the Lord has said to lay hold of it, right? Like Paul said, to lay hold of the promises. If we don't wrestle with it and really pull it down, then are we really walking in the full aspect of government? And I think that's something that we need to realize. Are we walking in the righteousness that the Lord has called us to walk in? The right standing and alignment with the decrees of God. Because I say, like I said earlier, I feel we've been too casual with the words of God. And we haven't really said, we want this. We want this. You know, let's wrestle this down. And you're not going to wrestle an actual person. But so what does it look like to wrestle? Well, this is where the DNA of Christian Center comes in, an intercessory prophetic house where we start praying into these things. We start fasting into these things. You know, John releases, like I said, the word for healing. We pray and fast. We come absorbed with it until it becomes a reality. So what do you mean when it becomes a reality? Until the Lord says, you've got it, it's yours, or we start to see it, right? Or we start to see it. And I think that's important for us to realize that you can't just name and claim things and expect for them to land. There's an aspect of wrestling with something until you take ownership and you possess it, right? And, you know, in that encounter, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And today we have Israel, okay? It was such a large blessing. And we sometimes think, well, Abraham got it, so Jacob's just going to inherit it. But no, you see that he had to wrestle for his portion too. And that's the aspect of Christianity that we don't like to hear in the West, that this might cost you something, right? This might cost you, if you're really going for this, if you're really running after this, it's going to cost you something, okay? And you might have to lose your comfort. You might have to wrestle and fight to lay hold of it. You know, for like I just said, this could be intercession. It could be going to war for this word until we lay hold of it and it becomes our own. And for me, that's the aspect of government that we now need to see manifest in the church. The church as a whole, but even a governmental house has to have these two aspects: justice, the decree of God, and righteousness, the walking out of what the Lord decreed. So that's all we have time for today, guys. We'll pick it up next week. You guys have a blessed week and weekend.